you know, to push start. Can I just say at the outset here, although I prayed and corrected what Shirley said, I know what Shirley was coming from, but other people maybe sitting here didn't. And then Kathy said to me, you need to maybe speak to the men as well. Well, you know, that's a different matter. But the fact is if you're going to pray crap, we're going to now stop it and say, you can't do that. Yeah. Because there are other people who are sitting in the church will hear. And I know where Shirley was coming from. And that's why I went over and said, this is not a criticism of Shirley. What Shirley was talking about was, you know, we are called to take up our cross and follow Jesus. But we're certainly not called to take up a cross of our sins, because our sins have been dealt with. But I know where Shirley was coming from. But if people are praying things that are not biblical, then we have to stop it. You know, and I said this to the Lord sitting there this morning again. This week I've been accused of being a control freak as far as Shiloh is concerned, right? A person said to me, you're very, very controlling of that fellowship. And I said, no, I'm not. I am very guarding of that fellowship. And the Bible says, guard what has been entrusted to you. And if we do not guard what God has entrusted to us, we're going to lose it. Now, let me explain what that means. That doesn't mean that you're not going to come here on a Sunday morning, praise and put your hands up and sing happy clappy songs. But the Holy Spirit will have left weeks ago. And you may as well have written Ichabod above the door. Because if we drift away through prayer, through different things and coming off of stuff that's not biblical, that is how the enemy gets in, and a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so I appreciate where Shirley was coming from, and I did go and say to her that was not a criticism of Shirley. But I'm noticing more and more when people are praying and saying things, they're saying things that are off their own bat, and it's not of God, and it's not biblical. So think about what you're praying, because you might get a tap on the shoulder, or you might hear someone like me being put in the awkward position of saying, I need to just correct what so-and-so has said. So anyway, let's pray for God's word this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you again for your word this morning. Lord, we need to guard what you have entrusted to us. And that's not my responsibility just. That is the responsibility of every born-again Christian in this fellowship. We have to take a hold of what you have taught us. And don't let anything, Lord God, in any way take that from us. Because your truth sets people free. If we pollute, dilute, or compromise your truth, people aren't going to be set free. So Lord, help us please to love your word, to love the truth of your word, and help us to think about what we're going to pray before we pray it. It's all right us saying, oh Lord, you know what I mean. That's no good for other people sitting in the church. Help us, Lord, please, to think about what we're saying. It's not about putting a restriction on prayer. Lord, people are free in Christ to pray for your will to be done. And we've heard wonderful prayers this morning. Lord, help us all to realize that we can't afford, Lord God, a little leaven to get in, because it'll leaven the whole lump. We love what you have given us here. We love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we want to build each other up in Christ and share your word with one another. Help us to keep on doing that. And speak to us this morning, Lord, through your word. And I thank you, Father, you know, that our Bible studies kick off again on Wednesday night. Because, Lord, it's opportunities there for people to be able to talk about the Word of God and to have it bedded down in our lives. Lord, thank you. Blessed be your name. Amen. Anyway, we're looking at the divisive but undeniably essential doctrine of the justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, which in essence tells us no one can be saved from the consequences of sin, which is ultimately hell. No one is going to be rescued from hell except through faith in Jesus. However, because of God's kindness, he has provided this means of salvation for all who will believe. So there's nobody left out. This gospel can go into all the nations all over the world, and it is the same for the people here in Shiloh Christian Fellowship as it is for the people in darkest Africa. It is the same gospel. There is salvation for all who will believe, all who will have faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Justification isn't simply about being justified, you know, and we can all dance and sing. We used to sing a song years ago in Kings, I get so excited, Lord, now that I realize I'm forgiven, you know, and it's a brilliant wee song. Justification is so much more than just being justified in God's sight, you know, oh, it's just as if I'd never sinned. It's also about the other side of the coin. It is God declaring sinners righteous. And I know we're not grasping this yet, and thank God it's going to take us weeks upon weeks to get through this particular part of the statement of faith. It's not just about, it's just if I've never sinned. It's also God has declared sinners righteous. And I don't care how you feel as a Christian this morning. I'm not the most, most sensitive counselor in the world. You know, I'll tell you it as it is, and I don't care how you're feeling this morning. God's word says you have been declared righteous. It is a once for all event. It has happened. It will never change. God has declared those who have faith in Jesus righteous, once and for all done. Now you need to start letting that wash over you and sink into your heart and mind. Justification, just as if I'd never sinned, and being declared righteous by God, they are inextricably linked. Forgiveness of sin and being declared righteous, you cannot take them apart. However, only God can forgive sinners for their sins, and only God can declare sinners righteous. But better still, God doesn't just forgive sinners and declare them righteous. He actually imputes the righteousness of Jesus to the forgiven sinner. Now, I know there's a big argument, and you're probably not aware of this, but hey, it's typical Christianity. There is a big argument about this issue of what the word impute actually means, about whether those who believe in Jesus actually receive his righteousness, it's imputed to them, or if they are just simply considered righteous because of what Jesus has done. When he said, it is finished and the debt has been paid, because you believe in Jesus, do you receive the righteousness of Jesus, or are you declared righteous because you were in Jesus? And personally, I really do not give a monkey's which one it is. I believe personally, we receive the righteousness of Jesus through faith. But really, I don't mind which it is, as long as I know I'm forgiven and God has declared me righteous. No one can receive forgiveness of sins or be justified, declared righteous by God through good works or by seeking to keep the law of God. Do you hear that? Pardon me. No one can receive forgiveness of sin or be justified, that is declared righteous by God, through any good works or by seeking to keep the law of God. A person can only be forgiven, be justified by faith in Jesus Christ alone. There is no other way. Doesn't matter what religion it is in this world. Doesn't matter what any other religious body teaches. The word of God is clear. A person can only be forgiven, be justified, declared righteous by God by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And this is an essential truth. And it is an essential truth that men like the Catholic monk Martin Luther and others sought to protect. The justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone by grace alone. Now, I asked last week, I asked Christians to think about what is your faith based on. If it is not on this fundamental truth, you are not a Christian. Do not fool yourself into thinking otherwise. If your faith does not have as part of its foundation the justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, you are not a Christian. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care how much money you pay into the church. I don't care how good you are at singing the songs. I don't care how much you think that you serve the Lord in this world. If you are not basing your salvation and your Christian faith on this truth, you're not a Christian. Turn please to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and the Apostle Paul is writing here, and he's presenting an argument. But I'm going to read from verse 20. We're going to break into his argument here when he says, therefore. But I'll put it into context in a moment. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, keeping the law of God, right? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh, no human being will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law is not a bad thing. The law of God that says you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not do all of these things, that's not a bad thing. The whole purpose of the law is to show you how sinful you are. And then when it shows you how sinful you are, you look around to say, well, how can I get cleansed? And God has provided the font of cleansing, which is in Jesus Christ. Anyway, back to verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Do you hear that? God can only remain just by justifying only those who have faith in Jesus. I say it again, verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man or a woman is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Sounds all very complicated, but hopefully it will make sense. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul has been presenting this argument that all people, you see, the Jews thought they were a wee bit better than everybody else because they were God's chosen people. But God didn't say that. God didn't choose Israel because there was something special about Israel. God chose the people of Israel because he chose to choose them. But because he did choose to choose them, to bring the word of God out to us, that made them special. Just as you're special because he chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. So we can all say, I'm a wee bit special. Let's say it this morning. I'm a wee bit special. So Paul is saying this. He's presenting his argument that all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, are guilty before a holy God. Every person on planet Earth is guilty before a holy God. Seeking to live by upholding the law of God cannot make a person righteous in God's sight. Now this must have, in the thought of the Jews, it must have freaked Jewish people out in Paul's day and made many of them question, as he says here, well then what is the point of being a Jew? Then Paul declares that what good living, do you ever hear people who talk about Christians? Ah, they're good living for a living. Yeah. Right? This is what Paul says. Paul declares that what good living or keeping the law of God couldn't do, that is, good living and keeping the law of God couldn't ever make anyone righteous, God has done by sending his son Jesus to die for sin. So hear that again. Paul declares that what good living or keeping the law of God couldn't do, that is make anyone righteous, God has done by sending his son Jesus to die for sin. And now anyone who has faith, there are people who think, oh, I'm too bad, I can't get saved. The Bible says otherwise. There are people who think, oh, but I don't think that I need Jesus. The Bible says otherwise. God has done by sending his son Jesus to die for sin, and now anyone who has faith in Jesus is justified, is declared righteous by God. And here is righteousness apart from the law. You don't have to try desperately hard day after day after day after day to keep the law of God, to try to please God so that you can be saved in the end. This is a righteousness apart from the law. And here is a righteousness apart from good works. You don't have to be out there trying to do all of the good things for all of the people in the world to try to gain favor with God. Here is a righteousness apart from good works. The righteousness of God comes by His grace to those who simply have faith in Jesus. How incredible is this gospel? How incredible is this good news? The righteousness of God, the very righteousness. God is holy through and through. He is perfectly righteous. And what He says is, here is my righteousness to those who simply have faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. One definition of justification is an act of God making sinners right with God. Do you see how we always say salvation belongs to who? Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to God. And justification, one definition is an act of God making sinners right with God. You didn't choose to become a Christian. You didn't choose, well, to think today I'll just give my life to Jesus. It didn't happen. God chose you, and He initiated this whole salvation plan. It was an act of God making sinners right with God. Paul says, God declares righteous those who put their faith in Jesus. He justifies them. It is just as if I'd never sinned. Well, the Westminster Confession of Faith, it says it this way. Those whom God effectually calls, what that basically means, when He calls you, it's going to happen. And what He says is going to happen is going to happen. Nothing you can do is going to prevent it. Okay? This is what it says. Those whom God effectually calls, He also freely justifies. Not by infusing righteousness into them, but by pardoning their sins and by accounting and accepting their persons as righteous. Not for anything wrought in them or done by them, but for Christ's sake alone. Martin Luther said of this doctrine, this is the chief article from which all other doctrines have flowed. It alone begets, nourishes, builds, preserves, and defends the Church of God. And without it, the Church of God cannot exist for even an hour. How incredible. This is what this doctrine really means. Hear it again. This is the chief article from which all other doctrines have flowed. It alone begets, nourishes, builds, preserves, and defends the Church of God. And without it, the Church of God cannot exist even for an hour. See, even though it continues, right to this day, even though it continues to be so divisive within the church, it is undeniably the most essential doctrine that every born-again Christian must grasp hold of and never let go. See the rest of that statement? I don't care if you forget about it and you're not so sure, although you wouldn't be able to join Shiloh. But what I'm saying to you is if you're going to learn anything from our statement of faith, learn this doctrine. The doctrine of the justification of the sinner by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone. And I'll tell you why. Christian, if you don't grasp this truth, it will affect how you understand your relationship with God and how you live your Christian life. Do you understand? If you do not understand this truth, if you don't start getting this truth into your psyche and into your heart and into your spirit and letting it feed your spirit, if you do not grasp this truth, it will undoubtedly affect how you understand your relationship with God and how you live your Christian life. And I'll tell you now, there's not a single person in this room who understands this fully. And you want me to prove it to you? When you've sinned this week and you've let God down, did you not think, oh, God's going to be angry with me now? or God's going to be really annoyed, or I'm going to have to try a wee bit harder not to do this again. You've missed the point. The point is you have already been declared righteous in God's sight. That doesn't mean you have a license to sin. And we'll get to that when we get to the justification of the sinner element of this statement. It is extremely divisive, but nonetheless it is an essential doctrine that every Christian must take hold of. You have been saved through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by God's grace alone. Do you know the American theologian R.C. Sproul? I love his books. He said, without the doctrine of justification by faith alone, the gospel is not merely compromised, it is lost altogether. Do you hear that? Without the doctrine of justification by faith alone, the gospel is not merely compromised, it is lost altogether. This is why men like Martin Luther protested against the teachings of the Church of Rome, because it taught, and it continues to this very day. This is why I don't go down the road of ecumenism. I will not embrace the Catholic Church. That doesn't mean that we don't love Roman Catholic people. It doesn't mean that we don't believe that there are within the Roman Catholic Church many born-again Christians, although I question why they continue in that church. But we do not embrace ecumenism in any shape or form, because Martin Luther protested against the teachings of Rome on what it taught on these doctrines, and it is still teaching to this day. And therefore, I'm losing my sense here. This is why men like Luther protested against the teaching of the Church of Rome, because it taught and continues to teach that a sinner is only justified in God's sight by faith in Jesus and by the continual practice of religious sacraments and indulgences. And that is what is taught today. And that's why we cannot embrace that, because in this church we believe in the justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, not by anything else. We cannot add anything to it. So let me say it again. I believe any church that teaches salvation by any other means than by the justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, is preaching lies. And they are proclaiming a false gospel. Now, let's not just pick on one church. Many churches teach faith in Jesus, but not faith in Jesus alone for salvation. There's a church very near here that teaches faith in Jesus, but you must be baptized or you cannot be saved. There's a church nearby that teaches faith in Jesus, but you must give one-tenth of your income or you will not be saved. There's a church nearby that teaches faith in Jesus, but you must practice these sacraments and this indulgence and that indulgence, and you must go before certain people and tell them all the wrongs in your life. A church that teaches salvation by any other means, I don't care if it's a big church, don't care if it's a small church, don't care if you've got the most modern music or if you've got the most eloquent speakers, a church that teaches salvation by any other means than by justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, is preaching a false gospel. And those who hope in a false gospel will reap a false salvation. If your church doesn't preach this truth for the sake of your soul, get out of it. Leave it immediately. Baptism, financial contributions, participation in holy sacraments, like this morning we took communion, these should all flow from our new relationship with God through faith in Jesus. But they are not little earners toward our justification or our salvation. Now, to help us understand this a little bit more, let me share just some thoughts of some theologians who suggest there are three types of justification. Now, you don't necessarily have to believe this, but it's a really good point to help you understand what is being said here. Now, I read about these recently, and I found it really helpful, because the three types of justification begin with the letter P. And anybody who knows, when I'm doing counseling, particularly on addiction, I say that every reason under planet Earth for people abusing drugs and alcohol all begin with the letter P. And I have seven P's to show this is why you're using drink or drugs. All begin with the letter P. And so when these three P's came up on justification, I found it really encouraging. So what they say is this. Justification is first and foremost positional. Let me explain. All sinners, and remember what the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So all sinners are in the same precarious position. We are under the condemnation of a holy God whose wrath abides on us. No matter how hard you try to keep the law of God or how many good works you do, because of your sin, and all have sinned, your position remains unchanged. So if you try for the rest of your life to keep the law of God, your position before a holy God remains unchanged. If you spend the rest of your life giving everything to the poor and going out and doing all of the wonderful, wonderful acts of mercy in this world, your position before a holy God remains unchanged. It doesn't matter how hard you try to keep the law. It doesn't matter how many good works you do. Because of your sin, your position remains unchanged. God is your judge, and the only legal sentence that he can pass is death and hell. However, and thank God for the however, for those who put their faith in Jesus, instantly, the moment you put your faith in Jesus, your position is changed for eternity. And you can't jump into this position one week and into this position the next. Once a person puts their faith in Jesus, their position is changed. Those who put their faith in Jesus are no longer under condemnation, and the wrath of God does not abide on them, because Jesus has experienced this for them. From the moment a person has faith in Jesus, God declares them forever righteous in his sight. Forever righteous in his sight. You see what I mean? There's no room here for how you feel during the week when you let God down. From the moment a person puts their faith in Jesus, God declares them forever righteous in his sight. Positional justification, however, doesn't make a person holy. Positional justification doesn't make you any holier. In fact, it doesn't change you at all. It simply changes your position. However, the second P is progressive. Progressive justification. Justification is progressive. Which is another way of saying the person who has faith in Jesus begins a lifelong process of progressively being made just by the Lord. And the Bible uses another word for this, which is sanctification. We are being made holy. In the eyes of Almighty God, we are justified. He has declared us righteous, and we are holy in his sight. But he gives us his Holy Spirit, who begins this transformation, this progressive transformation process of us being made holy. It involves being transformed by the working of the Holy Spirit in us to become more like Jesus. We can't manufacture this. I hear Christians all the time, oh, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling, I'm trying really hard to beat this, I'm trying really hard. You cannot manufacture holiness. It involves being transformed by the Holy Spirit in us to make us more like Jesus. It has to be the Holy Spirit who does it in us But you know what? It certainly helps to use the term we hear here. It certainly helps if we're willing to be willing to submit to God's transformative work in our lives. So we've got positional justification. We've got progressive justification. And the greatest of all, perfective justification. You see, finally, justification is perfective. What God has started in those who have faith in Jesus alone, He will complete. He will bring to perfection. Christian, there is a day fast approaching when you shall be made perfect. It won't be this side of heaven. A day when there will be no more battles with sin and temptation. And on that day, every person who believes in the justification of the sinner through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, will experience the fullness of what this wonderful, divisive, but undeniably essential doctrine truly means. And therefore, I urge you this morning, Christian, take a hold of this truth. Guard it with your life and do not let it go. Maybe this morning there's someone here or watching in and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me just tell you and remind you of what God's word says. Right now, your position is a precarious one. If you are a non-believer, if you are not a Christian, your position is a precarious one. Because of your sin, you are under the condemnation of a holy God whose wrath abides on you. It doesn't matter how hard you might try to keep the law of God. It doesn't matter how many good works you do. These cannot, under any circumstances, justify you, and your position before a holy God remains unchanged. God is your judge, and the only legal sentence that He can pass on you is death and hell. But out of love for you, God has provided a wonderful means of salvation. Faith in Jesus alone. Therefore, I ask, will you confess your sin? Will you repent? Will you turn around from living your life your way, trying to please God, trying to please others? Will you turn away from the sinful ways that you're living and put your trust in Jesus alone so that you can be saved? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you again for the wonderful truth of your word, that we don't have to perform to gain your favor. We don't have to struggle on a daily basis to uphold the law of God. We don't have to do all of the good works to try to gain favor with you. Lord, all you look for is people putting their faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And you forgive all of their sins and declare them righteous. And you give us your Holy Spirit to live in us and to transform us, to make us holy as you are holy. Now, Lord, I want to make it clear this morning for each of us that just because we're not expected to uphold the law to gain salvation, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek to honor our God and to seek to walk in your will and in your ways. And we would ask, Lord, please, that your Holy Spirit would give us hearts that are willing to be transformed, to be made more like Jesus. Lord, thank you that we have a justification that has changed our position, that we're no longer under the wrath and the condemnation of a holy God. Thank you that we have a justification, Lord God, that tells us that we shall be made perfect. But until then, Lord, we have a justification that reminds us the Holy Spirit lives in us and is working to make us holy as you are holy. And it will be brought to its complete fulfillment on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, Lord, please help us to have faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Amen.